scripture for tonight, and it's answering a question. And the question is this: what do you do when the bottom falls out of your world? What do you do when life goes pear-shaped? What do you do when life just isn't the way you want it to be? How do you respond? How do you cope with that? How do you live with that? Because that's been what the prophet Habakkuk has been answering and has been faced with as we've been looking at this message of his short prophecy. Habakkuk, if, as we say, the society in which he was living had gone to the dogs. And God has told him that it's not going to get any better. In the short term, it's going to get worse. And God has told him in chapter 1, and we've heard this, about a foreign invasion that's coming. The Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people, will sweep across the whole earth. And God is going to send this army to punish the Hebrew people. And Habakkuk has been wrestling with the way society has gone to the dogs, and now God is saying to him, it's only going to get worse. And he's asking this question, and we've heard this in our series, how can a holy God use an unholy people? How is that possible? A bit like Joseph, whose brothers sold him into slavery, and years later, Joseph said to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God can turn circumstances. But Habakkuk is in such a time where he just can't see the circumstances turning at all. He is trapped. He is caught. And he's facing up to this question, as we would say. He's trying to get his head around the mysteries of the ways of God. And we have heard his major lesson, that the just must live by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And so tonight we come to the third and final chapter, which the opening verse tells us is a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. And Shigionoth is probably, the margin tells us, a literary or a musical term. So this is a prayer of the prophet Habakkuk, and it's a privilege to hear this man at prayer as he reacts to hard times, as I've called tonight's message. And it is lovely that we get this insight into what he was praying for in these hard times. Some of you know the name of the Reverend Noel Agnew, who used to be the headmaster over in Kilcrow. And he was mentioned a few times during the week that's just passed at the General Assembly. And I was speaking to someone privately, and he was telling me that he used to room with Noel Agnew in a particular context. And he said it was so humbling to come into the room and Noel was on his knees praying. On his knees praying. This was a minister saying to me, it was so humbling to see. And he said to me the amount of paperwork he had with people's names. He used to phone people up and say, what can I pray for you this week? And this minister was saying to me, it was just so humbling to get an insight into that man of God who has now gone to be with the Lord. And this is what Habakkuk chapter 3 is. It's an insight into the prayer of a man of God. Your prayers are private, they are intimate, they are personal, they are you and I talking to God. But here we get to hear what the prophet is praying for when he hasn't the foggiest idea what God is doing, but he's praying anyway. And he's turning to the Lord in prayer. So he does two things, and just want to think about two things tonight. And the first thing is this. This is what he prays for. He prays for better days ahead, believing that God can work. And that's in verse 2. He says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. In other words, Habakkuk doesn't get down under the hard times he is facing, or give up, or get bitter, or descend into self-pity, poor me. But he believes that God is able to revive his cause. God is able to renew his work. And what he is going to do is he is going to pray. and he's going to pray for better days, believing that God can work and committing his cause to the Lord. And then what he does is, in the chapter, he goes over some of the deeds of God in the past. That's a good thing to do, to go over what God did in the past or how God answered your prayers in the past, and to remind yourself, to fire yourself up. He talks about in verse 3, God coming down on Mount Paran, which is another name for Mount Sinai. He talks about God dividing the Red Sea and the River Jordan. He talks about God stopping the sun and the moon in verse 11. He talks about God defeating enemies and bringing his people into the promised land. And what we have here is a reminder of the facts of God, the doings of God, the interventions in history of God in space and in time. That our faith is not based on philosophies or theories or ideas. I listened to someone this week. I was driving in the morning. It was Tuesday morning on Radio Ulster's Thought for the Day. And this person was waxing lyrical about yoga and how when the jingle, the wee cymbals, the jingles go right through into your bones. This was wonderful. Well, you know, I'm very glad that our God sent the 10 plagues into Egypt. I'm very glad that our God split the Red Sea so that the Israelites could go through and the Egyptians could be drowned. I'm very glad that our God is in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases. I'm very glad that our God sent his Son to die on a cross for our sins. You see, we don't gather around a philosophy or notions about having our bones vibrate because of cymbals making noises. We gather around a God who is alive and who acts in time and in space and in history. That is our God. And that's why Habakkuk prayed for better days ahead. God had acted in the past, so why won't he act in the future? And who can tell what God can do? Hezekiah's faith is on fire, if I could put it that way. Verse 2. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. I stand in awe of them. Revive your work in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. And it's good to pray for revival. And yes, judgment may be coming in the form of the Babylonians, but God's work will not be wiped out. Things may get worse, but it will not die out. As Paul said to the Philippians, I am confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the time of Christ Jesus. So we face hard times. We face hard times as a denomination, as I've outlined tonight. We can face hard times personally in our lives. We may be walking with the Lord and we know the Lord and we love the Lord, and yet there are things going on in our lives. We say, why is God allowing this? Why is this happening? I have no explanation. And if God is good, why are bad things happening in my life? That's what Habakkuk was wrestling with. So what he did was he prayed for better days ahead, believing that God can work. But the other thing, the second thing and final thing that he did as well as pray, was that Habakkuk rejoiced in the Lord in the meantime. Despite the fact that everything was against him, he was going to rejoice in the Lord anyway. It's true, isn't it, that some of us are glass half empty people and some of us are glass half full people. For Habakkuk and his circumstances, it wasn't that the glass was half full or half empty, it was almost empty. And he conveys that in verse 16. He says in verse 16, I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones, my legs trembled, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. He knows that invasion is coming, and he knows that what they reap they will sow, these Babylonians. They will be punished themselves for punishing the Israelites. So So here is a prophet, and he is conveying this sense to us. But nevertheless, he is going to rejoice in the Lord. And he says it in verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive tree fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God as my Savior. In other words, when all else is gone, God is not gone. You hear that? He says there's no figs on the fig tree. There's no grapes on the vines. There's no olives on the olive trees. The fields produce no fruit, no food. There's no cattle in the stalls. But I will rejoice still in the Lord. When all else is gone, God hasn't gone. God is still Savior. He is still sovereign. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. I will be strong. God is the stabilizing of his life, and God gives him a firm foundation, even though the house seems to be falling down around his head. We get a similar message, don't we, in Acts chapter 16, when Paul is arrested, severely flogged. I wouldn't want to be flogged, never mind severely flogged. He's thrown into prison. His feet are fastened in the stocks. At midnight, he and Silas are doing what? Asking for a lawyer? Shouting, protesting their innocence? Crying at how badly they've been treated and no one understands them and things shouldn't have worked out like this and there's a place I know for getting a lawyer and there's a place for protesting your innocence and I'm sure there's a place, of course there is, for dressing wounds and so on. But what they were doing, Acts 16, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening to them. They were rejoicing in the Lord in the meantime. They couldn't change their circumstances. They couldn't change them. You're maybe living tonight with circumstances you would love to change. There's things in my life and in my family I would love to see changed. Not a thing I can do about it. But I'm going to rejoice in the Lord in the meantime. I'm going to look to the Lord and I'm not going to get under events. I'm going to see God over them. Above the fluctuations of life on earth, above the wars and political intrigues, above the natural disasters and the man-made disasters, Habakkuk sees God. God's salvation. And this is the outworking of a man who lives by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so the book ends in verse 19. The sovereign Lord, he says, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. If the Lord is your strength, then the Lord must be inside you. He's my inner strength. And that's what the believer knows, that the Lord is inside me. He is giving me strength for this task. He is giving me strength for this circumstance. He is giving me strength for these barren times in which I am living, when I'm really struggling with how my life has panned out. And that's why he says, when the Lord is my strength, I can go up onto the high places like the deer to go up in the heights. You ever see those photographs of antelope and ibex and deer going up onto very sheer slopes, and they can walk up very, very, very steep hills and not slip. To have steady feet, to have a sure place to stand, the Lord is the one, when he's inside us, he carries us. And he enables us to walk on the high places with him. You know, Lynn and I love hiking in the mountains. And when you get to the top of a mountain, it's a lot of exertion sometimes, huffing and puffing to get there and sweating. But when you get to the top and you see the view, you forget about the pain. You forget about the exertion. You just get caught up with how good the view is. And if you're up in some mountains, all you see are more peaks as far as the eye can see. Some of them in the middle of the summer are still covered in snow, and you just get awed by it. The beauty. That you're not in the valley, in the deep places. You've made the effort to go up into the high places, and yes, sometimes we use cable cars. But when you're up on the heights, it's a good place to be because the view, you're raised above the level of the ordinary, and you're up in the place of the extraordinary. And that's why, as the book ends, it ends with a bit of a sing-song, because look at what he says at the end of the very last thing. He says, "This is for the director of music on my stringed instruments." He says, this is something to be sung about. This is something to celebrate. And the Christian faith has always been a joyful faith. And people say, oh, if you only knew my circumstances, you'd know I have nothing to be joyful about. There's always someone to be joyful about. The sovereign Lord is my strength. And that's why Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Because to know the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord, is to be up above the painful circumstances that you're living in. Painful circumstances can crush you. But to rejoice in the Lord and to pray for better days ahead, believing God can work, it's tonic for the soul. You're not being controlled by events. You're up above events, and you're looking to God, the just shall live by faith. And that's been Habakkuk's theme right the way through. And as I finish, think of Jesus on the cross. Remember what he said, what it says about him in Hebrews chapter 12? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Not saying that Jesus went to the cross and thought this was a very joyful experience. Of course it wasn't. A young man of 33 being put to death on a cross by the brutality of the state of the time, a miscarriage of justice, it was awful. But for the joy set before him, he endured it. He knew he was in the place that God had him. Bearing our sin and our punishment, and our judgment, far worse than the punishment the Babylonians were going to mete out. He bore my sin on the cross for the joy set before him. The joy of seeing you believe, and you believe, and you believe, and me believe. The joy of it. People coming to believe through suffering. And that's what Habakkuk is about, isn't it? Believing through suffering. And ultimately knowing that God is still on the throne. God is still there, though nothing else is there. And when he is in us and he is our joy, we can say, the sovereign Lord is my strength. The sovereign Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the message of Habakkuk as it comes to